Yeah, Adam Greenberg, the youngster stepping in, called up the same time Matt Merton was, so he's making his major league debut here.
And he gets to face De Los Santos in the ninth inning. Oh, my goodness. Let's hope he's okay.
Boy, that was absolutely nowhere for him to go on that fastball. Here he is making his major league debut. He's trying to stay in there against a left-hander, and this fastball just takes off.
720 WGN, that was 2005. De Los Santos on the mound and Adam Greenberg making his big league debut, his Cubs debut, and taking that 92-mile-per-hour fastball on the very first pitch. And Adam, as you may have known, got one more at-bat with the Miami Marlins back in 2012 and played a ton more in the minor leagues. And is now writing a book, Get Up, The Art of Perseverance. And everybody has their trials and tribulations in life, right? And here's a guy who had a dream to get to the major leagues, made it to the major leagues, an incredible accomplishment. Didn't end up the way he wanted it to do, but then you got to move forward in life. And Adam joins us now on 720 WGN. Adam, thanks for taking time. We appreciate you joining the show.
Well, anytime. Thanks so much for having me on.
So what type of reaction are you getting to the book? I know that I guess you were on the Today Show and people were inspired by your story and people learned of it and that spawned you into writing the book, Get Up, The Art of Perseverance. Is that accurate? And what type of response are you getting?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of opportunities after that at bat. I continued to play. I ended up going to sprint training with the Orioles the following season.
Right.
I never really kept spring training statistics, but it was one that was really, really important and special to me. And I hit 355 with a .413 on base percentage and got released the last day of spring. Just, you guys know baseball, the rosters didn't shake out for an opportunity. So that was where I was at peace, at least, that I knew that I could still play at that level. But it wasn't in the cards any longer. So I ended up doing a lot of motivational speaking after that at bat and after that season. And it was really, really amazing. As you mentioned, the Today Show and the people that were reaching out and kind of the letters that the Today Show was receiving. And I was getting wind of a lot of the positive reaction to not just sports fans, but just kind of people in general. So what really inspired me was to be able to connect with so many more people, because my story just so happened to be on national television. But overcoming obstacles and continuing to get up and you know, persevering is inherent in every human being. So I wanted to kind of connect with people on a larger scale and offer what happened to me as a motivation for individuals in their own lives to really overcome obstacles and connect with me on a different level. So that's the real reason that I wrote this book, is to connect and hopefully impact a lot of lives.
Adam, you know, you were a stud in high school, you were a stud in college, North Carolina, great program. You hit 337, 35 steals, scored 80 runs. Yet, as we bring you on to that pitch, you know, what is it like that you have to, you know, we're not replaying your game-winning Grand Slam in the World Series, we're replaying you getting beaned. What's it like having to hear that highlight and see that highlight time and time again?
Well, I'll tell you, back in the day when this was going on and during those years of struggles, it got to the point where it was really challenging for me to even want to get on a radio show or talk about it to somebody that was writing an article, because what you mentioned in the beginning, I was a baseball player. I mean, I was a successful athlete and overcame a lot just to get to that level. And I wanted to be known more for what I can do on the field. And at the time, it was help the Cubs win and help the Cubs win the World Series. So it was really getting challenging for me. And I'll say it now. I said it in my book. At that time in 2005, it was the greatest experience of my entire life. It was the pinnacle of everything I'd ever worked and dreamed for. And at the exact same instant that I got to enjoy that moment, it was met with, at the time, the worst thing that could have possibly happened. And now, years later, being able to look back and know what I'm doing with my life and those that I have been able to affect on a positive level, I could say it really was a blessing. Not the way that I expected and necessarily wanted it to, but I'm okay with it because of what I'm able to do with it and turning it into a positive.
Well, and you're also, and like a lot of people in their own, you know, worlds, you have to live with a certain amount of disappointment or regret. Like when you're watching the Cubs win the World Series in 2016, I mean, I see that you're quoted that, you know, you are happy for the players and everything, but there's a part of you that, of course, wants to be out there. That's natural. That's human. That's what it is. So what's your advice as you write the book to, hey, you're always going to have a part of you that's going to want more, and for you was, you know, to play in the big leagues for a lot longer than you did, but you have to move on from that. I mean, that's really, I think, the key message in there. How do you move on when you still have a certain level of regret and not let that consume you?
Well, I think regret is the one word that personally I wouldn't use. I used, it was bittersweet.
Okay.
With the Cubs winning the World Series, because I'll tell you, the Chicago fans, the fan base, the city, the players, what the organization did, I was beyond genuinely happy for everyone involved. The bittersweet part was, while as happy as I am, I wasn't there to share it. But to be quite honest, I didn't have any regret. I did everything in my power to continue to push and push and push and put it all out there as best as I could. And it just didn't work out for me. So I think the most important thing, and it kind of talks about it in the book, is to make sure that you're giving it everything you have. If you're passionate about something and you want something, don't ever be able to look back and say, oh, man, I wish I had. Because you can only live in the moment now and do the little things to position yourself for something great. And something great, I thought, was to play Major League Baseball and win a World Series. But that something great, it was the journey that was amazing. I mean, truly, I look back and the things that I was able to do, the people I was able to meet, the relationships and the experiences, that was amazing. So I don't have any regrets. And that's the kind of the thing is, as you said, whatever somebody's goal is or what you think it is, you never end up getting there because, well, whenever you get there, you got to keep setting a new one.
Right.
So that's kind of how I like to look at it. And mind you, it's not always peaches and roses and butterflies where it's that easy. Don't get me wrong. But that's that other part of the book where it's like helps to give the tools of look around you, ask for help, be willing to kind of take a deep look at yourself, give yourself that time to just get in a positive outlook, read inspirational books, listen to inspirational people and successful people. And when you do that and do it every single day, not a long time, but just make the good choices. Amazing things do happen.
Adam, you know, I bet there have been so many people that have contacted you, like, you know, a coach or a parent. Is there one person in particular that you have been able to help that stands out more than the others?
It's one of the stories that is in the book, because there's a lot of people that I didn't know that I had an impact on in their life. Because they were able to watch the Today Show and watch my at-bat and hear some of the interviews. But there was one kid, his name is Jared Schwartz. He got hit in the head, literally. He was, I don't remember how old at the time, but younger kid, and suffered very, very similar situation and symptoms that I did. His were even more severe than mine. And his father had reached out, and he wanted an autograph or something, and he told me what happened. And I was like, look, honestly, an autograph is great, but let me talk to this kid. And he and I started to connect and communicate, and he was really, really down in the dumps. And throughout the years, I ended up finding out that he was literally on the brink of suicide. So let's just take that alone and say, if I was able to help one kid still stay in this world who has an amazing future ahead of him, it gives me chills even talking about it, but that's one that certainly stands out, because there's nothing like life and death. That anything that I went through it's worth it for me to have been able to help a kid like that.
Adam Greenberg with us. Congratulations on what sounds like perhaps even in saving a life. The book is The Art of Perseverance, and Adam talking with us right now on 720 WGN. What's resonating with me with what you're saying, Adam, is enjoy and be involved in the process. Like, don't focus on when are you going to get there, but actually be in the moment of the day. And I think so many of us get just so bottled up on when am I going to get this and when am I going to get that, and not enjoying actually basically living that, you know, I mean, that's, if we were all just like so more process oriented, I think a lot of people would be more happy. I'm including myself in this, by the way, when I get mixed up in my own world, when am I going to get that? When am I going to get that? Just enjoy being engaged and involved. Does that make sense?
Well, you said the word happiness, and that's the one that pulls out, because what is being happy if you're not enjoying the time that you're doing whatever it is you're doing? And you have to have a goal. You have to have an outlook and something you're striving for, and you have to write it down. You have to think about it. You have to look at it, and you have to be excited by that and willing to do whatever it takes to get there. But, yeah, if you're not enjoying the process, that's what life is. I mean, if you're not enjoying a beautiful day because you're literally looking at the cell phone. I saw a woman, it was on TV, she was looking at her cell phone, and she slipped down a stairway walking down the sidewalk. I mean, it's like we're so engaged in what's next and not enjoying the time, which is really what life is all about. So, yeah, I'm very goal-oriented, result-driven, but the process is everything. And just being able to enjoy the people around you, the friends around you, and the work that you're putting in. I mean, baseball is the biggest example of failure, and you have no control over anything. You hit the ball, you know what I mean? So,
rip shot right at him. Blooper drops. I mean, a million different ground ball right to you, bounds over his head. All that. There's a lot of uncontrollable moments.
Adam, yeah. It's almost 12 years since you got beaned that night in Miami. So obviously, you're able to look at it differently than you did initially, and you have this greater perspective about all the good that you can do with this. And maybe if somebody else had gotten beaned, they wouldn't have been able to have handled it like you did and pass it along. And the title of your book is, Get Up, The Art of Perseverance. It expresses your mission statement. But did you think at all about like a funnier, a title? Like, I hate fastballs.
Part of it, that would be cool. I mean, I when I give my speeches, I usually say, you ever heard the slogan, life throws you curveball? Like, well, life threw me a 92 mile an hour fastball in the back of the head. That's a fun slogan for me. But truly, I wanted people to, no matter what, if you're a sports fan or not, to look at the book title and get it right away, because you're either the one getting up or you're the one helping somebody get up, because that's it. And the art of perseverance is just like, it's not, you're not born with it. Well, everyone's born with it, but it is a skill. It's a skill that you have to work at. And when you're down in the dumps, you have to work at little things, little goals, and continuing to persevere. And once again, if you're there looking down at somebody that's going through something, there's no greater gift that you can give than helping somebody get up. So, yes, funny would have been, maybe it'll be the next book, but for this one, I wanted people to get it.
Do you hold any grudge against Ozzie Guillen for putting you in against R.A. Dickey? I mean, you get in at bat with the Marlins in 2012. He's got to throw you up against a knuckleballer. I mean,
Cy Young winning knuckleballer.
Right. I mean, well, come on, Ozzie. What is that?
Yeah. Listen, the Marlins were amazing. Ozzie was amazing. The team brought me in. They hazed me. They treated me like one of them. I was a major leaguer for that day. And if my story was different, I probably would have gotten to face some normal guy throwing 95 with a slider and a good change. But just so happens my story, Ozzie needed to play into the storyboard of, well, this kid goes up and the first pitch in the big leagues in 2005 and gets hit in the back of the head, so let's face him with R.A. Dickey, his Cy Young award-winning career, like best year of his life, knuckleballer. Yeah, I think that makes the story better. So I think he was looking for the Hollywood script. But all kidding aside, R.A. Dickey has an amazing personal story himself of overcoming so much
adversity
that, to me, being on the same field with him and being able to face him in an environment like that, it was magical. Now, I will say, he got the benefit of strike one, so once
it was high.
The zone expanded, because I had to, you know, make sure that I was swinging at something close, and his pitches were nasty. But then when it got to the 0-2, the night before my at-bat, David Sampson, who was the president of the Marlins, told me, don't go down bleeping looking. So you can imagine if it was thrown in the stratosphere of the universe, once it left his hand, I was swinging. So he got me out. He struck me out. Fair is fair. But I would have loved him one more. I would have loved another at-bat.
Yeah, that first pitch was high.
And David Sampson is the son-in-law of Jeffrey Loria, who said Loria would never sell the team.
How much do you credit for, by the way, Matt Liston, real faster, Adam, on helping you get to the Marlins? Who Matt Liston, people know him as a movie producer here, he's catching hell, and he took on one at bat for you. He made it a mission to get you back in the big leagues.
Well, I owe him so much. As you said, he made it a mission. So basically, Matt Liston was my agent to bring attention to me as a baseball player. And that's what he did. And I told him, get me an invitation to spring training, get me to sign with an affiliate club. And sure enough, because I didn't want any favors. That's not what my story was about. That's not what I wanted people to look at or think of me as. But Matt got me an opportunity. I'm forever grateful, and he is a part of my life and family forever.
Yeah, it was really cool just watching some of the videos, getting ready to talk to you today, and what Matt did was super impressive. Adam, best of luck with the book, and thanks so much for joining us today. It was awesome to talk to you. Get up, The Art of Perseverance, and congratulations on all your success making it to the big leagues. You got to do something that 99.999% of us don't get to do, and we all played on the Little League ball field, and it didn't happen for us. You got there, my friend, so congratulations.
Thank you so much, Mark and Harry. I really appreciate it.
Adam Greenberg, the book, The Get Up, The Art of Perseverance.